reading this morning comes from Amos 5 and can be found on page 920 in the Pew Bibles. A lament and a call to repentance. Hear this word, Israel, this lament I take up concerning you. Fallen is virgin Israel, never to rise again. Deserted in her own land, with no one to lift her up. This is what the Sovereign Lord says to Israel. Your city that marches out 1,000 strong will only 100 left. Your town that marches out 100 strong will have only 10 left. This is what the Lord says to Israel. Seek me and live. Do not seek Bethel. Do not go to Gilgal. Do not journey to Beersheba. For Gilgal will surely go into exile, and Bethel will be reduced to nothing. Seek the Lord and live, or he will sweep through the tribes of Joseph like a fire. It will devour them, and Bethel will have no one to quench it. There are those who turn justice into bitterness and cast righteousness to the ground. He who made Pleiades and Orion, who turns midnight into dawn and darkens day into night, who calls for the waters of the sea and pours them out over the face of the land. The Lord is his name. With a blinding flash, he destroys the stronghold and brings the fortified cities to ruin. There are those who hate the one who upholds justice in court and detest the one who tells the truth. You levy a straw tax on the poor and impose a tax on their grain. Therefore, though you have built stone mansions, you will not live in them. Though you have planted lush vineyards, you will not drink their wine. But I know how many of your offenses and how great your sins. There are those who oppress the innocent and take bribes and deprive the poor of justice in the courts. Therefore, the prudent keep quiet in such times, for the times are evil. Seek good, not evil, that you may live. Then the Lord God Almighty will be with you, just as you say he is. Hate evil, love good, maintain justice in the courts. Perhaps the Lord God Almighty will have mercy on the remnant of Joseph. Therefore, this is what the Lord God Almighty says. There will be wailing in all the streets and cries of anguish in every public square. The farmers will be summoned to weep and mourners to wail. There will be wailing in all the vineyards, but I will pass through your midst, says the Lord. The day of the Lord. Woe to you who long for the day of the Lord. Why do you long for the day of the Lord? That day will be darkness, not light. It will be as though a man fled from a lion, only to meet a bear. As though he entered his house and rested his hand on the wall, only to have a snake bite him. Will not the day of the Lord be darkness, not light? Pitch dark, without a ray of brightness. I despise your religious festivals, your assemblies are a stench to me. Even though you bring me burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. Though you will bring choice fellowship offerings, I will have no regard for them. Away with the noise of your songs. I will not listen to the music of your harps. But let justice roll on like a river, righteousness like a never-failing stream.
Thanks, Rich. It's particularly appropriate that we had a policeman reading that lesson this morning. And if you were following it carefully, you wouldn't help but notice one or two references to courts, etc. So, yes, thank you for reading that to us this morning. It's good also to have Martin Mills with us this morning and his family. Martin will be shortly coming back to us, having done some missionary work down south. And as his sending church, I think we should pray for him as he begins his ministry at Norton shortly. He's back in the northeast at last, so it's good to have him with us. Let's pray for Martin and for the word together. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for Martin and his family. We thank you that you've called him to this part of the world and that you'd bless him and encourage them in their ministry together, that they might know your presence in all that they seek to do. And we ask for a blessing upon Norton Baptist Church at this particular time, that they too might be receptive to this new ministry as it begins shortly. We ask these things in Jesus' name. And Lord, as we turn to your word, we pray that your Holy Spirit will illuminate its pages to us, that in all things we see Jesus, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts might be acceptable in your sight. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're at the fourth point in this series on being true to Christ. What does it mean as Christians to be true to Christ? And we're going to look this morning at what it means to be hungry for the kingdom. It is, in a sense, looking at what we looked at several years ago, or when the Baptist Union produced what was called the five core values of being a Christian. And one of those core values was being prophetic, which always caused a little bit of discussion because people had different ideas of what they meant by being prophetic. It wasn't so much someone giving a word of knowledge in his service or the like. It wasn't, as it were, foretelling, but more in keeping with the Old Testament prophets in foretelling, speaking out against the things that are wrong in the world around us, speaking out against injustice. And this morning, we're going to a prophet who stands out in the Old Testament in this aspect, Amos. It's not surprising that Paul chose this particular passage for us to look at this morning, Amos chapter 5. Amos, if you remember, was born in the southern kingdom of Judah at a time when there were two kingdoms. There was the northern kingdom of Israel, which had been formed by the 10 tribes which formed the northern kingdom, and the remaining two tribes formed the southern kingdom of Judah. Amos' prophecies were directed to Israel. This was a southerner coming to the north to tell them one or two things that weren't right. And you can imagine how well he was received. In addition, Amos was the poorest type of farmer. He was a herdsman. And he also looked after sycamore trees, which was regarded by those around as the very lowest job you could find, because sycamore figs were the food of the very, very poor. So here we have a guy without any religious training, a poor herdsman, used by God. This was God's man, the man for the job. And this is what God does. He takes the weakest and gives them a task to do, enabling them to do it so that he receives the glory. Israel itself had become pretty prosperous in the north, but it was divided between those who you might were the haves and the have-nots. Big division. And as we go through this morning, we might find that as we examine this particular passage, it may ring some bells with us in our time. There was a growth in religion, quite an explosion of growth in religion, but only in the sense that people became interested in other faiths. What was meant by God to be a holy nation had just become like any other nation around. Enter Amos, chapter 5, verse 1. Hear this word, O house of Israel. Verse 4. This is what the Lord says to the house of Israel. Immediately we note that Amos is speaking the word of God. It's a message for us today. I mentioned last Sunday when we were looking at 2 Corinthians that Paul in that section reminds us that we do not preach ourselves, but we preach Jesus Christ as Lord, speaking the word of the Lord. This is the third time in the book of Amos that he's called the people to give attention to God's word. The beginning of chapter 3, the beginning of chapter 4, and now at the beginning of chapter 5. John 15 and Hebrews 1 and 12 remind us that the way we treat God's word is the way we treat God himself. And the way we treat God's messengers is the way we treat the Lord himself. And Amos falls into this category. When I was told, asked by Paul to look at this particular passage, well, the obvious thing you do is to read the passage. Now, I opened my Bible and looked at the passage, and what did I find? Oh, it's highlighted. Interesting. There's a number 1 there, and there's a number 2 there, and there's a number 3 there. Oh, 3 points for us this morning. All these 3 points begin with the same or implied word, seek. In this passage from chapter 5, Amos is telling Israel to seek 3 things. And I believe it's the word of God to us this morning, to seek those 3 things. As Amos points them out. First of all, in chapter 5 and verse 6, he says, as you might expect, seek the Lord. That's the first thing. Seek the Lord. You know, this phrase is found 30 times or more in the Bible, continually asking us to seek the Lord. It's implied in verse 4 where it says, seek me. Or seek the Lord. So we might ask ourselves this morning as we reflect on this, what does it actually mean to seek the Lord? Well, Isaiah in chapter 55 and verses 6 and 7, a well-known passage which says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. Well-known verses to seek the Lord. It means, first of all, in seeking the Lord, we've got to change our direction. Seeking his way rather than our own way, which we're all prone to do. Abandoning some of our thoughts and trying to seek what God's will for our lives is. His way. It means that business of turning around, often known as repentance. Going a new way. And despising the sin in our life. I'll emphasize that, despising the sin in our life. Recognizing that we've got a God of mercy. And we're gloriously able to experience some of that mercy. To seek the fellowship of God and his cleansing. My sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart you, God, will not despise, says the psalmist. Well, we might also ask, why seek the Lord? Amos actually gives us three answers. 5, verse 4, seek me and live. Now, there's actually a suggestion here in this particular passage that is also echoed to a certain extent in Hebrews chapter 12, that if we don't submit, we may die. That's quite a sobering thought, but the suggestion is there. 1 John 5, verse 16 says, there is a sin unto death. Secondly, in verse 5, he says, there is no other way to experience spiritual blessing. And if we seek spiritual blessing, the simple answer is, seek the Lord. If we want that spiritual blessing, seek him. And thirdly, in verse 6, judgment is coming. There is a day of judgment for us all. We forget about that. We forget that God is not only a God of love, but he's a God of justice. And here in this passage, Amos is reminding us about the injustice that exists in the world and in the world today. The second seek is verse 14. Seek good, not evil. Here, Amos is what you might call a bit more down to earth. He's challenging those around in their practical everyday life. Things like justice. There's a lot of injustice around. That's why courts are mentioned. Look for justice. Telling the truth. Not taking bribes. Not charging the poor exorbitant rents. Living in luxury while the poor starve. Everyday events. Everyday events that we might find ourselves in our daily task and whatever we might be doing day by day. Important to seek good, not evil. I want to show upon to seek good in the roles that we find ourselves day by day, and not evil. To recognize that there are situations around us that we need to speak out against. Amos is actually mentioning again some of the things in this chapter that he's mentioned earlier on. He's repeating. I'm really quite pleased this morning that Paul asked me to preach on chapter 5 and not on chapter 4. If we look at the very beginning of chapter 4, we see these words. Hear this word, you cows of Bashan on Mount Samaria, you women who oppress the poor and crush the needy, and say to your husbands, bring us some drinks. He is calling women cows. I can imagine getting a long way as a preacher if I had to begin this morning by addressing the women as cows. But here was, this was Amos the herdsman. He's comparing some of the women of Israel to the cows of Bashan. And there's a cow. And that's what they look like. Now, it's not clear in the passage whether these were the undomesticated, ferocious cattle or the other cattle found there which were domesticated. It's more likely to be in the domesticated ones, which were the prize animals. They were fed on lush grass and they were fine cows. And here Amos is comparing them to these self-indulgent women of Israel, looking after their own personal needs, totally absorbed in their own situation, when there were many around at that time starving. The difference between the haves and the haves not, when they call to their husbands for another cup of wine or another extravagant meal. In addition to speaking against injustice, there are those who oppress the poor. There are those who have an arrogant self-confidence. They're actually boasting, the Lord is with us. After all, isn't the nation enjoying a great time of prosperity? Aren't we doing well? Wasn't that a sign of God's blessing? When in fact, this was really just a thin veneer of religious self-righteousness over a rotting corpse of a nation. The proof really that God is with us is that we love him and we seek to do his will. How can we claim to love good if we don't hate the evil? This is why the climax to this particular passage that we read are words made famous by Dr. Martin Luther King. Let justice roll like a river, righteousness like a never-failing stream. Our desire is to echo those words, to be a prophetic people, anxious to see that justice is taking place, because we have a God who is a God of justice, anxious to see that righteousness is a feature of our country, because we have a God who is righteous. Let it roll, as Amos says, like a never-failing stream. We might ask ourselves, are we doing the same things as Amos? Jesus, at the very beginning of his ministry, Luke records it at the fourth chapter, where he stands up and says, quoting Isaiah, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim them freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And then he goes on to say, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Jesus was identifying with this. And as a people who seek, in every way, I hope, to be true to Christ, we should have this hunger to see his kingdom come. His kingdom come now. His kingdom will eventually come in its fullness. But to seek justice and righteousness, to seek God, to seek the good, to be able to spend our time and energy in our daily task, doing the things that God wants us to do. Let's pray together. Father, we do thank you that your word sometimes challenges us quite deeply, challenges us in ways that we often can't fully imagine. And we just pray this morning, Lord, that we might be open to your direction and to your guidance, that we might be a people that you would want us to be, light in the darkness, salt that hasn't lost its savour, ready and willing to shine into a dark world, to show them your way, the way of good and not of evil, to your honour and to your glory. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.